This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Me and B are reunited, and it feels so good. Brian, how impressed are you by my hotel?
This is a hotel I expect to see on happy days. So this is like a Fonzie hotel.
It's trying. Hey. It's like brand new. It's like trying to be trendy.
They kind of, I don't know.
You want to play the guitar? My room came with a guitar.
Landfill. The hallway, they have gray, pink, and some other color, like psychedelic carpet. It is weird, dude.
It's what we're into.
Send me a picture.
we'll take a picture from the
lobby. Wanted to do a video at first, but I said, let me just get it in this room first, because, you know, it kind of make you feel like you're about to be attacked.
It's an interesting vibe.
I walked into the lobby, and the actual check-in desk is the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going for.
She said, can I help you? I say, I'm going to 420. You need anything? Nah, not this early.
I haven't even told Jeff.
Room number is 420?
Sure.
Yes.
Is.
Yes.
And, dude, so yesterday was a long day. And it was
Lord.
We got a lot done. It was a good, like, work day. But it was a long day. And then I went and got a bite to eat. And I finally get back to the hotel room at, like, 9 o'clock last night. And I just want to, like, sit down and kind of zone out and watch some TV. And I turn the TV on, and it just does not work. I don't know if you saw. I posted a picture last night.
I didn't see that.
It was probably the dead middle of the night back home.
Yeah.
So the TV just doesn't work, and I go downstairs to the bar/front desk, and the guy, to his credit, was like, all right, we'll get somebody right up there. Yeah, this is the scene last night. Just wow. There, I'll show the stream.
They took it off the TV? Off the wall? You took it off the wall.
This lady, I got to say, every time I'm done with this hotel, they do something that, like, impresses me. This woman rolled in here, and she had to be at least in her mid-50s. She was like,
hey, JB, hold on, dog. That's like I'm in my mid-50s.
Okay, but this is a lady. It's like 9:30 at night, and she just picked that TV up off the wall.
In other words, she looks a little different than I do at 56.
Yes.
All right, cool, go.
I mean, she wasn't, like, big. Like, she was, like, just a regular-looking lady, and she replaced the physical television within, like, she said, I'll be right back. I was like, oh, my God, I'm never going to see this lady. I'm never going to have a television. And within, like, 15 minutes, she replaced the whole thing. And
hey.
I was kind of impressed, as much as this weird hotel can impress you.
It is weird.
The only good thing, it's super close. So the Commanders are practicing at Arizona State, and it's like 6 minutes right there. I'm not walking it because this heat is serious business.
I understand, man. It's a little weird, though. How did you find this?
Marriott app? I don't know.
This, like, is a Marriott hotel?
Yeah. I'm telling you, B, it's like, it's brand new, but built to look weird and old.
I mean, it looks like it was built in the 70s.
I think that's what they want it to look like. To some people, and this will probably be my last experience at this brand of hotel, but this is, like, desired, I suppose. How was your travel out, man?
It was good, man. I mean, quick. I was 11 miles away from you.
No problems, easy?
None whatsoever.
And your hotel?
Just that the sunlight was, like, right in my face. Well, my hotel is great, but I went down to the lobby last night, and, you know, I could pick them up from a mile away because I've gone to Vegas many a times, and Wednesday night is when they begin to stroll in. Then Thursday night it gets a little more wild. Then Friday you really, really see the gist of it. There were three young ladies that they were really working last night. I think I saw them talk to every man in the bar. Each one of them talked to the same people, and they left several times and came back.
There you go.
And they look at me, and I will look the other way. I give them one damn bit of a idea to think that you're going to have a chance to try and talk to me, because, no, it ain't happening.
So
I talked to Don Julio all night.
There you go. So, yeah. Landfill and Jeff, here's we'll start with a poll question on a on I guess it's a Bleep You Thursday. I'm very out of – yeah, it's Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday.
Would you rather be at the weird hotel or the nice hotel stocked full of escorts?
The W, baby.
I'm saying, listen, my hotel's got no escorts.
Hey,
it doesn't have a front desk either.
His hotel had the club closed around, I would say, 12-ish, because there's a club on the second floor, Jeff. When you walk in, you go up there, they got music and a pool. My whole thing is, I've been there one night where they had a pool party. It was the NFLPA was here.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And I was like, somebody going to fall in that pool. And lo and behold, bam, somebody fell in that damn pool.
All right, Jeff, you can go to the pool club hooker party, or you can come to the weird 70s pinball hotel where they fix your TV. Party.
Hey, you don't even got to finish that. You don't even got to finish that, man.
I thought I'd know where you would go. Hey, Landfill, man. I'm a little more curious. Landfill, some of the selling points of my hotel. There's a burrito restaurant across the street and a CVS right next door.
I mean, I'm going to room 420. How's that even a question?
Well, Landfill, I'll be honest with you. I smelled a lot of that in my hotel last night, too.
Bro, there's more. Every time, like, D.C., it just reeks of weed everywhere you go.
Mm-hmm.
Here is even more. Now, maybe especially because I'm by the college, and this college is massive, just massive. Yesterday, though, so I had a ton of TV yesterday, and it is hot as hell out here. And what I've learned with this dry heat, the dry heat thing is kind of real. If you're in the shade and just chilling out, like, you recognize that it's hot, but it's not sweltering like humidity.
You don't sweat.
Right. Well, you kind of sweat, but you don't feel hot. But as soon as you have to be out in the sun, you're cooked.
But what happens out here, the sweat evaporates real quick. You don't really sweat like when you're in humidity.
Yeah.
And that's why so many people out here dehydrate.
Well, dude.
Because they don't think they're, I don't need no water. I'm not sweating. Yes, you are, fool.
So far, I'm getting people texting me which hotel they vote for.
One are they voting for?
Landfill, you won't put a poll up of, do you want room 420 or the hotel packed with hookers?
Escorts, dude.
I'm sorry.
It's high end.
Dude, so yesterday, I had the show last night on NBC. And I had like an hour in between my last just hit and doing that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get some caffeine, honestly. And I needed just like some water, and we were just dying. And so I drove around just trying to find like a 7-Eleven or a gas station. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't find anything. So I finally get to this like strip of college bars, basically. And I park, and I'm like, all right, some place here somewhere will have stuff. And I just start like all these. It was like three in a row of little stores that looked kind of like convenience stores. So I poke my head in the first one, and it's just six dudes sitting around smoking weed. And they looked at me, and I looked at them. I was like, not what I'm looking for, and just turned around. I think I bugged them out, man. And I had to go to like three more places. Finally, I found a Taco Bell. Have you been to one of these Taco Bells that are also bars?
No.
So it's a Taco Bell, but with like draft beer and a full bar, and you can just get like a Cheez-It quesadilla or whatever.
Yeah, I'm trying not to have to go to the bathroom, Jay.
Well, I didn't get any food. I got a Mountain Dew and a bottle of water. It's interesting out here because I've been out here for like, you know, four or five nights for the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
But the Super Bowl arrives at a city and kind of takes over that city. You know what I mean? Like, the Super Bowl is kind of overpowering.
I'm with you.
Like, this week, we're here, and it's just Phoenix. Like, it's just Tempe. Like, they're just doing their thing. And it's definitely, I don't know.
Yeah, you might want to turn that on, though.
I'm working on it. There you go. So here's the question.
All right.
How much did you ever have this when you were playing? Where you guys go for the whole week for a game
no.
like this?
Only time I went for the whole week was when we went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we went to London.
Right, okay.
That was it.
And that was preseason, right?
Yeah.
What do you think of?
But teams did it. Other teams did it. The 49ers always did this. You know? And I think it's cool if you plan on a Monday and then instead of flying all the way home and then come back, I think that's a lot of tedious things going on. I think it's best to fly straight to the place.
I think it makes sense logistically, but I think if they had lost, if they had lost Monday night, I feel like this whole week would feel a lot different.
It'll feel different, but it feels different at practice if you go straight home.
Yeah.
So to get to where they want to go and have the best work, I think they did the right thing.
I think logistically, because otherwise, so Monday night, what time did you get out of there? It was like 12:30 probably when the buses were pulling out.
I probably got to the hotel around 12 something.
Okay. The team probably got out here.
It landed around 3 something in the morning, the time here. It's at 6 something at our place.
Right. And then Tuesday was an off day.
I was listening to John talk to him. So, yeah, around that time.
And then they're just settled. You know what I mean? Like, it makes a big difference. Like, this morning, I wasn't tired. Like, yesterday, the time was screwing me up. This morning, I went to bed last night probably like 10 and just woke up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like my voice is a little cracky. Maybe, I don't know why. Maybe because it's 7 a.m.
Could be.
I mean, I didn't do anything last night. I had a cheeseburger and went to sleep and outside of the TV extravaganza. What do you think for this week? It was a really interesting comment from Jaden Daniels yesterday. Basically, he was asked in so many words, like, how do you avoid a letdown game after something as explosive and impressive as Monday night, right? And basically, his answer was, you know, if you never get too high or too low, if you approach everything as it's just another game, and that's just another game in the rear view, mm-hmm. you can't really have a letdown because it's not like I was amped up for something.
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
Do I buy the way I buy it? Because, like, the whole thing about it, see, that game, after the game, you look at him, he was happy. He wasn't overly ecstatic like most fans were. And I think if he keeps his mind in a certain way, listen, if they were to go out there and the game isn't good, fans are going to call it a letdown game. But if they play and they lose or whatever and they got things across and accomplished a lot and he feels the way he does, he won't feel that way. And I think that's one thing I don't think media or fans understand. When you're playing it, you can care less how everybody else is feeling. You have to be comfortable and confident in what you feel. Because there's a game you lose, and no, there's no such thing as, you know, moral victories and stuff like that. But when you lose and you start looking at the film, you're like, damn, we couldn't have played much better. They just were a better team that day. You can accept it as a player. The people that look at it don't accept it ever.
I think that's really just who Jaden is, man. Like, I do think there's not a lot of – for him, the performances, maybe they'll be volatile, right? Like, maybe there'll be some roller coasters along the way. He is a rookie. You got to expect a bad game here or there. But I don't think he gets too high, too low about anything.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so little that seems to, like – rattle him, and all his teammates talk about his poise. I mean, unprompted yesterday, we got to talk to 5 or 6 guys, and I mean, dudes that are veterans that have been in the league. Like, Bobby Wagner's going to the Hall of Fame, and he's like, man, we got to chill and let him grow and become whoever he's going to become. But for to start like this is wildly impressive.
It is.
And just the level of calm and poise and stability he brings, which is crazy because he's a rookie quarterback before he starts.
And it doesn't change from one area to the other. The only thing changes when it comes to being a quarterback in different places is what the people around you feel and think. So, 19, oh, Lord, when was this? 82. I walk into a huddle. I am a junior high school student. My 8th, 9th grade is my junior high. It's the 10th, 11th, 12th grade at the senior high. I'm the starting quarterback for the 11th, 12th grade team. When I walk in the huddle, the eyes I got were like, what the hell is this little young kid coming to this huddle for?
Right.
But I didn't step in the huddle without any confidence. I stepped in with confidence. One of the linemen kept talking. I threw him out the huddle. And he's like, what? And the coach said, get out the huddle. He told you to get out the huddle. So the coach supported me right off the bat. So those linemen and everybody else supported me. And then once they saw my work ethic, they started to do it.
Right.
Same thing here. Jaden comes in with that work ethic, and they're going to give him respect. And they're going to give him respect also because they drafted him at number two
right.
in the draft. Then you got the coach. They are like, they believe in him, so we got to believe him. Then he walk in with the tools and doing everything they expect. It easily, they just begin to see you as a player instead of, oh, this rookie.
Right.
They see him as a player, and he's like, he puts in all effort. Everybody says it to a T. He puts in as much work as he needs to get where he wants to go.
Sure. I think all of those things make a tremendous difference. And it's interesting, Bobby Wagner's kind of a few different times told a few different versions, but of the same story where, you know, because he was a middle linebacker on those great Seattle defenses, I mean, the Legion of Boom, all that, when he first arrived and he won that job, and, I mean, not to make it too full circle, but Dan Quinn is from the Pete Carroll tree, right, mm-hmm. where – everything is competition at all times. And as much as that's become like kind of a cliche thing for a lot of coaches to say now, like Pete Carroll was the first one, like that Seattle culture really embraced that and leaned into it. Yeah. So Wagner ends up starting as a rookie for a team that went, that beat Washington in the playoffs. I know that. I mean, his rookie year was 2012, same as RG3. And think about the guys that are in that huddle. That
yeah.
Now, granted, it's a defensive huddle, but you still got to call the plays.
Oh, yeah.
Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, whoever was in there, right? And he said at first everybody tried to make fun of him, and he just had to, like, power through it. But once he proved he could play and he belonged.
I think that's all that matters.
They just listened to him.
Yeah, if you can play, they're going to give you the love and the respect. And I think the ultimate thing about Wagner, just like about Jaden, when the season started, they saw him play. They saw him work. They saw him practice. They saw him perform. They saw him prepare. So when the season started, if the coaches decided to start you, they're not complaining at that point. I'm sure when they first put you in there, they're looking like, yeah, whatever. But when the season started, you've proven it to them now.
I think even more than – I think you nailed something there. Once you show you can play, it kind of changes everything.
Oh, yeah.
But the way Jaden has prepared and carried himself, honestly, since he arrived for the draft, set them up to have and listen, you could look at it the skeptic point of view where it's like, all right, he was drafted second overall. Like, we already know what his role is going to be here.
Yeah.
But he never carried himself that way.
Yeah.
And –
if he walked in here
every second,
started barking orders and demanding and acting like the other guy did, he would have had a different reception. But he walked in and all he did was work. Then the veterans start walking into the building and they like, damn, this kid already here? You know, and I think it's just like people tried to beat Tom up. They couldn't. When Kobe was around, and Kobe, I think, Dwight Howard, played in Miami with LeBron and Chris Bosh. He got up one morning super early, run down there. Kobe had already worked out, ate his first breakfast or whatever, and was about to start his second thing. Some guys just do it a certain way.
Heineke told that story when he was with New England, just practice squad.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I got to try to make an impression. And he got to the facility like 4:30. And
there you go.
Tom was already in the second quarter of a game.
That's what I'm saying. So when you have that, that is who you are. You don't have to change up because the people that normally get shunned by the veteran players are those who walk in and try to be more than what the hell they are, point blank.
Lot to discuss today. The Commanders defense has really been struggling it's easy to say, yeah, they're going to get better, and Dan Quinn kind of did that yesterday, but how does that actually happen? Injury report is complicated because you're coming off a short week. We'll tell you what matters and what doesn't. Austin Eckler, out for Sunday. We kind of expected that. I'm not saying it's a surprise. I do think it impacts the offense. You take one of your best playmakers off the field. We are just getting warmed up on a Bleep You Thursday.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We're coming to you live from Tempe, Arizona. Arizona State University, where the Commanders... where the Commanders are bracked. Yo, just in case, like, somebody missed that show that day. The reason we always say temp is because Jeff legit thought it was just called
temp. In the promo, I did put it in there.
I love that.
Lanford, did you use that part?
Yeah.
I say we're going to be coming to you live from Arizona. Well, temp, as Jeff would say.
Commanders are out here practicing. They're kind of moving practice times around. It's been interesting because it's hot. Now, the actual practice is indoors, so it's not like they're out here.
It's still hot.
Just walking around though is hot.
I mean, hell.
All right. So right now it's 7:32 a.m. Jeff and Landini, why don't y'all guess what the temperature is outside right now?
Hey, what you said it was 7:32?
Yeah,
80 degrees.
Yeah, I was gonna say 83.
Jeff nailed it.
On a point.
It's 80 right now. Today actually looks cooler.
When I land, last night when I was asked what was the temperature, I was driving to the hotel. It was. A little bit before 8, it was 100 degrees.
Today looks cooler, though, B. It's only getting up to 106. It's different out here, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, B, you and I have gone back and forth on this, and Dan Quinn had an answer yesterday that I thought he obviously has a job to do here. And clearly... keeping the vibes right might be Quinn's greatest skill, I would say, where he is really focused on getting this team to perform at the highest level. And I don't think he wants to be negative, but he also doesn't want to lie, right? Like,
yeah.
So defensively, they've really struggled. And I think you can't deny that at this point. And I thought his answer yesterday, so DQ got asked about, because what they said is we want them to play with speed and play violent and run downhill.
Yeah.
And he's like, not yet. I'd say we're gaining there, so we're still building onto that, but we're not hitting the marks that we want yet. By no means is that where we're going to end up.
Uh-huh.
And I love the crew. I love what we're about. So we're going to grow. They're going to play faster. They're going to play more violent. And so the more of that we do, then you stack on more and stack on some more. But we're not to the space we will be yet, no. So there's a lot of coach speak, a lot of jargon in there. They're clearly not playing to the level he wants them to play because they're not playing well. Like, no. If he was comfortable with how the defense was playing, it would be a much larger problem than him trying to coach speak his way around saying, hell no, I'm not happy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, all that really said was, I want them to play like X. They're playing like Y. I'm not thrilled with it.
And we can all see that. It, you can't hide it.
Right.
And when you listen to me, I told you he's the calmest dude in the world on the sideline. But just like you look at your parents when they look at your brothers and sisters, you know who to follow, who not to follow. When you watch him in the offensive end on the field and that camera pans to him, you see a much more jovial guy than when the defense is on the field, right? He still has the same calm look, but you see a little gleam in his eye when the offense is out there. And he and Joe both can't be happy with it. You know, they come in.
I got a feeling Joe won't be as good as coach speaking his way around it.
Joe is not a coach speak guy. Joe tells you exactly what he feels. And I think players also respect it because you don't want to be lied to. And Dan isn't lying to him. He's telling them, you're not where I want you to be.
You're not hitting the mark.
And I expected
right.
to get there. So.
So through three games, Commanders are giving up 377 yards per game, and they've given up 11 touchdowns. That is tied for the second worst in the league. The only team that's given up more is the Cowboys. They've given up 12 touchdowns. I mean, this is kind of a chicken or egg question. Like, it's an existential thing that I think you and I land on different sides. Do you think defensively they're going to – like, DQ has no choice but to think – his defense is going to improve.
I think he
thinks, for us, we're on the sideline. Like, we can look at it more objectively.
Well, I think he thinks the more they play, the better they will start to do the things exactly how he wants it done. I sit there. I watch the game that's just like you. And what do I tell you about the D lineman that I see a lot? They attack a guy, and it's like they turn it into, I'm going to beat this guy. Eventually, you got to dismiss that guy's ass, get rid of him, and make a tackle. I've watched guys hit a guy in the chest and run right past the running back. I never saw the arm come out to try to at least grab him or something. And sometimes that happens in football where I'm firing off so much, I want to beat this guy. But your job is to make a tackle or make it so tough to where the guy can't just run through a hole. And when we watched the game just Monday night, there were a lot of guys going right past the running back. So when you watch these special teams, those guys stick and throw. That works for defensive linemen as well.
I also think it's always worth noting who the opposition has been, right? Like, go back to the NFC East title of 2020 when the team went 7-9 and they beat guys like Nick Mullins and Ben DiNucci as the opposing quarterbacks. Yeah. Like, I never really bought into that success, right? Through three games, they've gone up against Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, you had T. Higgins back. That Tampa game, Mike Evans is eventually going to the Hall of Fame. Godwin, Baker Mayfield, that team has some offensive skill and a really good offensive line that nobody discusses. But the Giants game, Neighbors looks all world, but Danny Dimes is Danny Dimes. Like, I don't know that their struggles have been competition dependent, if that makes sense. Like, this weekend, with Kyler running around and Marvin Harrison Jr., I don't think... In the NFL, people are like, oh, man, they always get torched by the team's top – by some of these top wide receivers. Everybody in the NFL has good receivers.
Everybody gets torched by the top receivers, to be honest with you. Not often do you just stop a top receiver.
Sure, but, like, I don't know – when they play Cleveland and it's Cooper and Judy, not everybody's CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but – I'm just saying, I don't think there's going to be a change in the level of competition that helps Washington.
It won't be a change in the level of competition, but I'm going to tell you, what does everyone say is the strength of that defense?
I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't know that you could say there is one through three.
No, I'm asking what they still say. I'm not caring about what is if there's
one. The perception is that
the defensive tackles are our strength.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They need to play to it. Listen, this is no knock or whatever. The coach just told you that the guys are not playing how he wants them to play. So, ultimately, who runs the team? The big boys. The big boys are not playing the way this was. Last year, we talked about the offensive line. This year, we don't have to talk about them. Why? Because the quarterback is more mobile, and they're giving him a little bit more time. So, they're playing a little better. We need those guys on the other side to play better.
They finally addressed center.
We need the guys on the other side to play better.
Giannis has been so good.
Yes, he has. But we need those guys to play better. And listen, just going out there and say, oh, the defensive backs. Well, if they got all the time in the world to throw it, They're going to pick you apart eventually.
Injury news. We need to run through the injury report. Just finishing these numbers out. Passing defense, Commanders are second to last in the league, giving up 255 per game through the air. Kind of surprising. The team that's behind them is the Ravens, and they're giving up almost 300 per game through the air, 291. And then the rushing defense, there's not a lot of surprises here. The Commanders are middle of the pack, 121.7. A lot of injury news from yesterday. DQ was a little revealing. We thought he was just being nice. We later learned it was a new NFL rule that he had to tell us the truth. we're going to run through the full injury report. You tell me, Landfill, when we come back, is it good news? Emmanuel Forbes is going to be back on the field Sunday. What is definitely good news, if you are in the car shopping business, if you are looking for a new car, you want to lease a car, or maybe even want to sell your car, the folks we do business with, Brian and I, Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. I've bought four cars from them. B's bought 1,000. They got 7 locations all over Northern Virginia. They take good care of you. You can buy a car anywhere. Seriously, you can get a car wherever you want to go. But buying it with them is a personalized experience, and the Oarsman Lifetime Edge separates them from the competition.
Yes, it does, and they give you up to $1,500 in extras, including a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance. They give you a loaner car with every major maintenance and that lifetime engine guarantee. Listen, I send my friends over there because they treat me so well. They treat JP well, and I know people like to say, oh, y'all read about them, so they're going to do that. No. Everyone I've sent there has come back and told me thank you because they went above and beyond to make sure that they were satisfied. And if you're looking to sell your car, go to Oarsman. They'll pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's very simple at Oarsman. They like to keep their customers happy, and they like to keep our friends happy if we send them over there. So take it from us, B. Mitchell Finley, 2 beyond satisfied Oarsman customers, and let's ride together.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Brian just went outside. What are you taking pictures of? My weird hotel? I got a rotary phone. Is that what you call that, a rotary phone?
Not rotary. That's push button.
I got a, push button. See, that's they're trying to make it look old, but it's actually new. Like, yeah, that's a fake rotary phone that's actually just a regular phone.
Now you have just – you can touch just flat stuff. Those are actual buttons. People don't much have that anymore.
Be Mitch out here touching the flat stuff. All right. I want to go through the injury report. Brian, you tell me what matters and what doesn't.
Right.
Obviously, we were expecting this. Dan Quinn confirmed it yesterday. Austin Eckler is out for Sunday's game. I kind of get the feeling that they don't know when his return will be, but that's just the nature of head injuries.
Yeah.
It's a big blow, dude.
I think it is. I think, you know, people talk. Well, Nate was talking as if, oh, this is minor carries. No, no, no. He had an impact every time he touched the ball. And I think you mentioned it yesterday, and I think that's the most important.
9 yards per touch, 9.3 yards per touch.
That is great. But you talked about him in the passing game blocking. He's a badass, dude.
Yeah.
He's not the biggest dude out there, but that dude is going to lay some lumber. And what you got to understand about football, you don't have to knock people on their back. You just have to make sure that that person is not going to touch your quarterback. And when he steps in and hit him, they stop.
Did you see – I don't know if you saw this. Jay Gruden posted a video on Twitter of the touchdown throw to Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. Maybe you saw it live. Jeremy McNichols had to come in that situation because Eckler was hurt, and I'm guessing B-Rob might have just been gassed. And if you remember pre-snap, there was a bunch of confusion. Like Luke McCaffrey didn't seem set. McNichols didn't seem sure of what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And – all of a sudden, there's a blitzing linebacker, and McNichols just buried him. And, I mean, one thing you and I talked about with coming out of preseason was we thought Wiley had run better.
Hold on.
What do you got going on?
I mistakenly sent this phone to Brian Colbert. He said, what the hell? Does it still work?
I think McNichols made the team over Wiley because of pass pro.
Yeah.
And I think that showed.
Yeah, but
on the most important throw.
I watched Wiley in preseason. He was blocking too. But what I always say, running backs have two jobs before they run the ball. One, protect the quarterback. Two, do not fumble the ball. Then they can do whatever the hell they want to do. And you can see that Anthony Lynn stresses pass pro. Because the guys that were pass-proing, they made the team.
Right.
Let's be real. The guys that weren't, they came back as something else.
So Eckler's out, and that's a big deal. And I don't think we should try to understate that. Clelin Ferrell also out. And DQ explained, yeah, this is not a surprise. We knew he was going to be out last week, out this week. We expect him back. He was kind of shutting down any conversation about Ferrell having to go to IR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were able to get a little pass rush going late in that game against the Bengals. I don't think it was an accident that what their starting tackle was out. But that is two veteran starters, for lack of a better word, or at least major contributors that are out for Sunday's game. I'm not saying you can't win. That happens everywhere in the NFL. But it's not good news.
It's not good news, but you know what? A lot of people get a chance because somebody got hurt.
Sure.
And I think the ultimate thing is you kept the guys around at running back just in case. I mean, you don't think that – I mean, I'm sure when they picked Brian and also Austin, you had to make sure you had two other guys that you feel very comfortable with if one of those guys got banged up. And that's what it is. And then Clelin Ferrell comes in. And I think when you look at him.
I think you look at Fowler.
I think you have to. But the ultimate thing is somebody else may be able to step in. But there has to be a guy chomping at the bit saying, you know, I'm getting a chance now.
Sure.
You know, and I think that has to be your mindset. You know, I want guys around that can't wait to get an opportunity.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. All right, so Johnny Newton, he's still on the injury report with a foot, but he was a full participant. Emmanuel Forbes still on the injury report with his thumb, full participant. Benjamin St. Juice is on there. Quan Martin's on there, both in a limited capacity. I would say both those guys are going to play. Ertz on there with a rest day. They wrote non-injury related, right? Mm-hmm. That's rest. Crowder on there, non-injury related rest. We did get an update last night to Crowder that he also had the calf added to his injury designation. Mm-hmm. So maybe his calf's a little tight, whatever. I think Crowder's been inactive the last two games. I'll confirm.
He was last week.
Yeah, if he was last week, he was week two against the Giants also. This one, I'm not trying to send alarm bells ringing or anything. Cosme, DNP, Achilles. I think the interior of that O-line has been really good. I think you don't want I didn't see him yesterday now that I'm thinking about it, but I didn't necessarily look for him. I just didn't physically see him.
Uh-huh.
It's also the Wednesday coming off a Monday night game where a lot of guys, if your pinky toe hurts, they're like, yeah, just sit this one out because I think everybody understands what it needs to be going on a short week. Does the Cosme of all this stuff, right? Obviously, Eckler being out is the biggest deal, but we kind of knew that. Mm-hmm. Cosme is like the new development here. Concern.
I have more concern about him because he's been solid, but I think doesn't Dieter back up that?
Yeah,
Dieter played okay during preseason, but Dieter's also a backup center,
right?
So you wonder if one other person getting nicked up doesn't begin to affect it. But I'm more concerned about Cosme because, you know, offensive linemen don't get a lot of press, but they're more vitally important than a lot of other people. Because if they don't work, it doesn't start.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a chance to go out there and perform. So, yes.
That is one, when we get out there for practice today, so they're practicing late today. They're practicing at 2 o'clock here. So if you're waiting around at home looking for updates, it's not going to be till 5 o'clock. That's one to keep an eye on. Now, I think at this stage, it's nothing more than something to keep an eye on because it was the Wednesday after a short week. But if maybe he's not out there today, if it's a straight DNP, that – will get my attention for sure. If he's out there today in a limited capacity, that is tracking the right way.
Yeah.
And, dude, frankly, even if it's a DNP today, but then he can go tomorrow, he's going to play Sunday. So tomorrow's really the one where you got to – ideally he's out there.
That's that new stuff. Normally it would be Thursday because Thursday is a work day.
But on a short week, I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right. Still, it's just I think big offensive linemen normally can gut through stuff.
Yeah.
But if it's a lower extremity thing, you have to be careful with that.
Achilles makes me nervous.
Achilles always make you nervous.
Right. Like, yeah. That. I mean, if you think about the size of, like, I mean, every regular people just like me, like, you just look at your Achilles and the tightness just of, like, how it regularly is, and that your whole body, however much you weigh, 100 pounds, 400 pounds, your whole body needs that little band to operate. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. It'll get you.
There's a lot going on there. All right. There's also a lot going on with these Arizona Cardinals. When we return, Tyler Drake joins the program to give us the scoop on AZ. Nobody go anywhere.